Okay, City Council has returned from its recess. The time is now 7:10 p.m. and we're on to public hearing number 8. Conduct a public hearing to receive and discuss a presentation regarding the voluntary annexation of right-of-way along Warriors Path, described as approximately 2.806 acres of the right-of-way of Warriors Path, adjacent to the city of Harker Heights, Texas. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. This is the second of two required public hearings per the Texas Local Government Code regarding the annexation of the right-of-way of Warriors Path. That right-of-way being on the next slide, the road work that we did to expand the road in front of the middle school. So as a reminder, our calendar was that on July 31st, we mailed out written notices to all of the required utilities, and there were no property owners since it's right-of-way, but to the utilities in the area about the annexation. We did do our legal ads for these public hearings, and so we're planning on moving forward with the annexation at the September 22nd City Council meeting. At that point, we'll bring it forward for an actual ordinance to adopt the annexation. And so again, as part of the exhibit for this this staff report, we do have a map of the annexation area, which is what you see before you. There's also the service plan for the area, which we're required to present for all annexations. And in this case, it's a simplified service plan since there are no residents, there's no property, private property. So the service plan is basically going to cover police protection, fire protection, emergency medical services, maintenance of water and wastewater facilities, maintenance of the road, street lighting, traffic engineering, and stormwater management. But the other things like waste management and so forth are not part of the service plan because they're not germane to this particular annexation. So that being said, again, this is the second of public hearings. This is a non-action item by the council. We're just simply here to have a public hearing and allow the public to provide input on this annexation. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, it's a public hearing from the council and Mr. Blomquist.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Mr. Molise, this past week we had several heavy rain events. How did the stormwater drainage there at the under the road, is that, did it, any problems in that or anything reported?
I think I'm going to have to defer that question to the Public Works Director if he's still on the line.
Yes, this is Mark Hyde, Public Works Director. The drainage facilities worked great. We didn't have any troubles. So constructed and met the requirements.
Thanks for the update, and pass along the kudos to the engineers for the proper drainage there. And I know there were some reported high water spots throughout the Central Texas area, so it's good to hear that we didn't have one there on Warriors Path. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions from the council for Mr. Molise? Okay, this is a public hearing. Is there anyone to speak for or against this item? Okay, hearing none, we'll bring it back. I've got, before we have we're not going to do a motion anyhow, but Mr. Molise, and this is Mayor Smith, on the property adjacent to, that's the vacant land, I'd say to the north of the school, do you anticipate if that land develops that the city would probably have to annex more of Warriors Path in the future?
Mr. Mayor, this is Joseph Molise, Planning Director. We've actually met with potential developers for that property, and they're looking at developing single-family and two-family residences on that property. But it's my understanding that when we annex Warriors Path, it's going to be based on the construction of Warriors Path. We would be reluctant to annex the road built to the county standards. We would want the road built to our standards before we annexed it. So this is part of the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization's long-term road traffic improvement plan, the TIP. And so I suspect that will be done in phases, and as we proceed through the phases, we would annex those portions that were built to our standards.
Well, I think that one thing that we'll be looking in the future there, also on the Nolanville side there, as that develops, we may have some things happen real quick along Warriors Path further on up. Mr. Mitchell.
This is David Mitchell, City Manager. Yes, Mayor, we understand that Nolanville is moving forward, or a developer in the Nolanville jurisdiction is moving forward with development there. I don't know if they have committed any funds, however, to the improvement of Warriors Path. So what Mr. Molis stated is absolutely correct. I mean, this project's was about $9 million. I mean, we just put about three into this section. So anywhere from $6 to $7 million in the remainder that needs to be done. It's pretty heavy lift for us in Nolanville. So we'll continue to partner together and look for ways to do this road using particular federal or state dollars in relation to the road. We were fortunate this time. I want to rehash that a little bit with KISD joining us and committing half the fund. So we were able to stretch our dollars a little bit there.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'd just like to tag on to what the mayor said there. With that development there on the Nolanville side, that is potentially a very, very large development there. So I could very easily see in the future that this feeder road could become a very major road quickly, because a lot of the services that those citizens would want to go to are in Harker Heights. Nolanville does not have a whole lot of things other than the gas stations, and there's a few small shops, but you know, the Walmarts and those type of things are in Harker Heights, so they would be coming our direction. So just keep that in mind. Thank you.
Okay, anything else from the council for Mr. Molis? Okay, hearing none, and again, as it's noted, there's no action required. This agenda is a public hearing only. Action will occur on September 22nd, 2020 at 5 p.m. So we'll move on from the public hearing on number 8 to public hearing number 9. Conduct a public hearing to discuss, consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, amending 72.20, 72.21, and 72.22 of the Code of Ordinances, repealing 72.23 of the Code of Ordinances, creating an amended definition of, quote, heavy vehicle, providing regulations relating to the parking of certain heavy vehicles, regulating the placement of heavy vehicles with accessory equipment running, providing a repealer clause, confirming the health, safety, and welfare purpose of the ordinances, confirming the effect, and providing for an effective date of the amendments, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. This is the culmination of several activities with the city, with the citizens of the city. This is the heavy vehicle parking ordinance, which we have initially workshopped in August of 2018, February of 2019. We had a public forum in July of 2019, based on all of the input, we drafted an ordinance which we shared through a virtual public forum this summer, July 20th through August 10th. And as you recall, we workshopped it on the 18th and then received additional feedback on September 1st of 2020. So the next slide is kind of a presentation. And I wanted to just, at the request of the council, I wanted to go back and talk about why we're adopting this ordinance and what it is we're looking at and why we feel that this is important. And so looking at the heavy vehicle parking ordinance, the current requirements define a heavy vehicle, among other things, as being 18 feet or longer, 7 feet or wider, and 9 feet or taller, was 10,000 pounds or heavier. And so a lot of vehicles meet that requirement. As you can see in these example photos, that ambulance meets the requirement through the length and the height. And then the photo below, excuse me, that limousine meets the requirement because of the length. So it's considered a heavy vehicle. Why we regulate those is that, or actually how we regulate those currently is that they are not allowed to be parked on the street, and that they can be parked in residential areas. However, they have to have a permit. And so what the ordinance that we're looking at today does is eliminate that ability to obtain a permit, and therefore it would eliminate the ability to park a heavy vehicle in a residential area. The next slide talks about why we would like to regulate this. So the photo on top is the map showing our heavy vehicle routes throughout the city. It's kind of pulled back a little bit, but obviously I-14 is a heavy vehicle route. That's the yellow kind of hatch-marked area, as well as Veterans Memorial Boulevard. But as you can see, FM-2410 through its entirety is a heavy vehicle route. Steelhouse Lake Road, FM-3481 is a heavy vehicle route, as is Mountain Lion and Indian Trail north of I-14. And Lookout Ridge is also a heavy vehicle route. So the reason these are important is because, as we've talked about before, heavy vehicles provide a lot of wear and tear on our roads. Most roads are not designed to maintain the weight of these vehicles, and especially if consistent travel on these vehicles. So these roads that are highlighted in red are the ones that were designed for that requirement, and our residential streets are not. Also, as you can see in the picture below, they do cause wear and tear even on private property. Private driveways and the grass next to them often get torn up by these things, which causes issues for the property owner and for their neighbors. And so the first thing is that we do receive numerous complaints from the public regarding these heavy vehicles in residential areas, in particular the noise. Whether or not we've had cases where we've been told that the truck engine was left running overnight because it was a refrigerated trailer, and so they had to keep the power on. But even that not being the case, just the simple starting of these vehicles is quite loud, and a lot of truckers end up leaving at very early hours in the morning to get on the road, and so it's disturbing to their neighbors. We also get complaints about the aesthetics, that people just don't feel like that's an appropriate thing that they want to see in their neighborhood. And finally, you know, it's related to commercial activity. Essentially, they're running a trucking company out of their driveway, is what I've been told by several members of the public, and they've got problems with that. Next, there are some safety concerns as far as these vehicles are in their existence in a residential area. Obviously, if they're parked in the street, which they're not supposed to be, they pose a serious problem to pedestrians and cars. But even when they're in driveways, they can't block the lines of sight for people in their own driveway or for neighbors that are backing out when they can't see past the heavy vehicle. And so we do have safety concerns with that. And as I mentioned before, the streets are not designed to maintain a consistent load with these heavy vehicles. The next slide talks about what we see in our surrounding areas. So there is regulation throughout Bell County. In particular, in Killeen, they passed an ordinance a couple of years ago banning heavy vehicles in residential areas and within 600 feet of residential areas. So the proposed ordinance that we are looking at tonight doesn't go that far. It doesn't ban them outside of a certain distance of residential areas. When I mapped that 600 feet in Harker Heights, it essentially led to almost nowhere that a heavy vehicle could be parked in the city, because we're a lot tighter of a city than Killeen is. We're not as spread out. Nolanville regulates them in that they won't allow them parked on residential streets, but they do allow them to be parked on the driveway. And Belton, Temple, and Gatesville, they allow them in behind the front setback. So I guess the idea is that they're hopefully screened because they're well past the front setback of the house, and that definitely would eliminate the sight line issues that we talked about before, and they don't allow them parked in the streets as well. The next slide talks about the objectives of the ordinance. So at our last meeting, we got some feedback from the council, and this was based on feedback from citizens about what we'd like to see in the ordinance. So the first thing was obviously updating the guidelines for a heavy vehicle. As we've noticed, regular personal vehicles, stock vehicles, are now exceeding the requirements of a heavy vehicle. I can go to the Dodge dealership and buy just a Dodge pickup that's going to be qualified as a heavy vehicle. We got comments from citizens that their Suburbans in their driveway would technically be a heavy vehicle. So we recognize that, and we are updating the definition to hopefully to meet all of those requirements. Next was the idea of exempting tow trucks and other first responders or on-call vehicles as they're parked at home. As I mentioned before at our last workshop, you do have scenarios where city employees or other utility employees are required to take their vehicles home overnight or on the weekends in case of emergencies. And so those more than likely would be heavy vehicles, and we want a mechanism to be able to exempt them from that requirement so they can do their jobs. Next, we were asked to reiterate that recreational vehicles, while they would be excluded from the heavy vehicle requirement as they are now, we wanted to make sure that they were not used as an occupied residence on these properties. And so the ordinance has been amended to reflect that language. And finally, speaking of language, we were asked to add language regarding deed restrictions to remind the citizens that regardless of what the city does or permits are issued, that there are deed restrictions that are beyond what our requirements are and that we do not maintain those. So those were the objectives from the last meeting that we had, and so the ordinance that I'm presenting tonight reflects those. The next slide actually gets into the nuts and bolts of the ordinance. So the first one is in the definition of heavy vehicles. I've highlighted the things that have changed. So the first thing is we've increased the length to 20 feet. So you have to be greater than 20 feet to be considered a heavy vehicle, wider than 8 feet, and taller than 10 feet. So we feel that that would meet the requirements of most modern vehicles, whether it be a dually or an extended cab pickup truck, that they would not be classified as a heavy vehicle, and therefore our citizens would be allowed to park their personal vehicles at their residences. Point C on there, or subsection C on there, is the section that deals with deed restrictions, and it says nothing herein shall be construed to counter or take precedent over existing deed restrictions or restrictive covenants. So that's saying that regardless of what this ordinance says, you're responsible for deed restrictions and restrictive covenants from an HOA. The next slide is the next section where it talks about the parking of heavy vehicles, and these are the exceptions to the rule. The first two points were in the previous version of the ordinance, that heavy vehicles owned or leased by the city in the performance of their duties. The next one are heavy vehicles that are part of a construction site or that are part of public utilities where they're doing public utility work. And what we added was C, by an employee of a public utility, a police department, fire department, ambulance service, or tow truck service while that employee is on call. So again, that was to address the on-call personnel that have to park their vehicle at their home. The next slide discusses other exemptions, and it talks about, it talks about parking of certain heavy vehicles. I apologize. The first one being what I mentioned before, point B, that you cannot park a heavy vehicle on a public street. We did change some language in here because it originally said encroach upon a street, and the definition of encroach is very nebulous. It could mean completely on, or it could mean intruding into. And so to clarify that, I worked with the city attorney, and we changed the language to in part or in whole, be in an alley or public street or so forth. And the same goes for private property, that a heavy vehicle can't be parked on private property with the exception of a recreational vehicle. We did cut the section that said, except if you have a heavy vehicle parking permit, because that was the objective of this ordinance. And finally, the second sentence says, it shall further be unlawful to occupy or treat as a residence or accessory dwelling unit a recreational vehicle on a residentially zoned property. So that's that clause in there that addresses people that occupy a recreation vehicle. So it becomes a violation of the heavy vehicle parking ordinance as well as a violation of the zoning ordinance. And finally, section 72.23 has been changed to reserved, and that used to be the actual permitting requirements. It outlined how somebody were to obtain a permit, what the requirements for the permit, and that the city manager issue that permit. And so we're deleting that section so that there is no longer the possibility of getting a permit. The next, I think that's the last slide, actually. So that basically covers the ordinance. It's a fairly small ordinance where we're just basically amending the existing ordinance to address the issues brought forth by the citizens and by the city council. I do find that it's important to point out that we had discussed previously giving about a year's worth of time before we enforce this ordinance to allow people to be reached through our educational outreach projects and to find alternative places to park their heavy vehicles. And so I rounded it up to October 1st. It's kind of easy to remember. So in the ordinance language, it actually says the ordinance shall not be effective until October 1st, 2021. So it gives people just over a year to come into compliance. And again, I felt like that was an easy enough date to remember and that we would move forward with that. And again, staff is going to work together with the finance department, with the public relations director, to ensure the proper outreach to our citizens through the water bills You know, we talked about posting door hangers and just physically talking to people when we see an incident and telling them what the compliance is going to be for that particular issue. So that being said, staff does recommend approval of this ordinance to amend the heavy vehicle parking ordinance based on the following findings. One, that there are needs to prohibit heavy vehicle parking in residential areas, which include aesthetics, public safety, and street maintenance. Two, that staff has maintained government transparency by allowing multiple opportunities and venues for public questions and comments. And finally, three, the ordinance represents the culmination of the citizen, staff, and city council recommendations to create a fair, concise, and enforceable ordinance. So for these reasons, staff does recommend approval of this particular ordinance, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Joseph, that was very well laid out and a very thorough overview of what we intended with the heavy vehicle parking ordinance. I just wanted to point out one point of clarification on the HOA. You know, you used the word beyond for the restrictions. As long as the HOAs or the covenants meet the city requirements, that's great. They can't be more lenient, though, but they can be more restrictive than the city ordinance. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So, you know, we're not giving them a green light that they can ignore their own HOAs and covenants by our ordinance, but they could be more restrictive. But that's their own covenant with their own subdivision or people that are living in that subdivision.
That's absolutely correct. So the interpretation of that particular section, that subsection C, is that an HOA cannot allow heavy vehicles to be parked in their neighborhood because that would be less stringent, less restrictive than a city ordinance. However, an HOA could ban recreational vehicles, which is more restrictive than the city requirement and would be within the purview of the HOA. So again, you know, under that scenario, code enforcement might drive by and not issue a notification or a citation for a recreational vehicle on a property, but it might be in violation of deed restrictions or an HOA restrictive covenant. And so that's what that is covering.
And that would be a civil matter between that citizen and their own HOA then?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Molise? Okay, this is a public hearing. Is there anyone to speak for or against this item?
If there's any caller on the line that would like to speak about this item, please press star 6 on your phone now.
Okay, hearing none, bring it back to the council. Do I have a motion on item number 9? Mr. Blomquist.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I make a motion to approve an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, amending Statute 72.20, Statute 72.21, and Statute 72.22 of the Code of Ordinances, repealing Statute 72.23 of the Code of Ordinances, creating an amended definition of heavy vehicle, providing regulations relating to the parking of certain heavy vehicles, regulating the placement of heavy vehicles with accessory equipment running, providing a repealer clause, confirming the health, safety, and welfare purposes of the ordinances, confirming the effect, and providing for an effective date of the amendments based on staff's recommendation and findings.
Okay, thank you. Do have a second. Mrs. McCann.
This is Jennifer McCann, place 1. I'd like to second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place 1, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place 1. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place 4, how do you vote?
John Ryder, place 4, vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place 5, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item, public hearing number 10. conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, amending section 155.061A of the Code of Ordinances relating to surfaces required for parking and loading spaces, as well as aisles and maneuvering areas relating thereto, adding a new 155.069 relating to parking in yards and residential areas, providing an affirmative defense, providing exceptions, providing for a penalty, providing a repealer clause, confirming the health, safety, and welfare purpose of the ordinances, confirming the effect, and providing for an effective date of the amendments, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. This particular agenda item has been hand in hand with the heavy vehicle parking. We had the same workshops and the same public forums to discuss this issue as well. And so again, this ordinance is presented tonight, represents the culmination of all those workshops and of the input of the citizens, staff, and City Council. In particular, the iteration we're looking at today are our direct response to the September 1st Council workshop. So the next slide is going to, again, give some background information about why we're discussing this issue tonight. So currently, our parking requirements for commercial parking require all-weather surfaces, and parking in landscaped areas is prohibited. So any commercial endeavor has to have an all-weather surface, and they can't park in the grass. In the residential section of the code, we do require all-weather parking as well, and all-weather driveways. However, there is no prohibition on parking in landscaped areas. And it's from that lack of prohibition that we see vehicles parked in yards and residential areas. And the next slide discusses why that's an issue. You see some pictures here of some, obviously some larger, gross violations of that. It's not typically that bad throughout the city, but you know, we do see some issues. Like the first picture on the top right shows a trailer parked in the grass, and there's actually two trailers there. And then in the background, because I think that my code officer was actually taking a photo of those trailers and noticed in the background that somebody had their car parked on their back patio. And so that's just kind of problematic there. The bottom left photo shows a property owner who collects cars and has covered just about their entire property with cars. And then the next one just shows somebody that drove right into their front yard to park right in front of their house despite having a functional driveway. So we've received complaints about these scenarios. We've received complaints that cars parked in the grass create a negative appearance for the neighborhood, that they reduce property values, and they make it difficult for somebody to sell their home. And so because of those reasons, we began researching ways to regulate that activity. The next slide goes into a little bit more detail about why we would regulate that. Now, of course, we talked about the aesthetics, but there's also some very real safety issues involved with that. One of them is, of course, that you can block lines of sight for traffic, just like with heavy vehicles. If there's a car parked in the middle of the yard, you may not be able to see past it when you're trying to back out of your driveway. It also can impede first responders from responding to that house. So, you know, the scenario with this car, again, is, you know, an ambulance shows up, and now they've got to go around that car to get through the front door. And, you know, in a situation where seconds matter, that's something that could be avoided. And finally, cars have a physical potential to damage the environment, whether it's chemicals leaking into the ground or starting grass fires with their catalytic converters. So I included a news story taken a couple of years ago where the intent of the story was to remind citizens to not park in the grass because a lot of local municipalities do not allow it. We're actually in the minority in that. And the next slide, I think, is going to discuss that, where we talk about the relationship of parking in the grass to our neighboring cities. So Killeen and Nolaville both do not allow it. Belton does not allow it, but they do allow some gravel in some residential situations. Temple says it's not allowed unless it's screened. And Georgetown doesn't allow it, but they do have grandfathered situations. So I bring both of those up, Belton and Georgetown, because our ordinance kind of meets those requirements, where we will allow gravel and we will allow some grandfathering, kind of meeting in the middle. But as I indicated before, we're actually the minority as far as allowing people to park in the grass. The next slide covers the hopefully it covers the goals of this ordinance. So again, these are based on feedback from the citizens and from the city council from our last meeting, is that we wanted to allow grandfathered properties to utilize their existing driveways and parking areas, for gravel driveways and parking areas, that we wanted to allow existing properties to have additional parking spaces, but maybe allow them to use alternative materials rather than just asphalt and concrete. We wanted to exempt utility trailers, particularly empty utility trailers that are screened from public view. And finally, we wanted a clearly defined penalty for the violation of this ordinance, because this is in the zoning code, and so finding the penalty clause and that's kind of nebulous. And so it was expressed to staff that we wanted that to be very clear and transparent in the ordinance. And so we've amended the draft to show that. So the next slide is going to actually get into, oh, sorry, there's a pop-up pictures there. I forgot to turn off the flashy part of the PowerPoint. The first thing we did is we actually went into the definitions in the zoning section of the Code of Ordinances, section 155.03, at the advice of the city attorney, since we use phrases throughout the proposed ordinance and throughout the existing ordinance with terms that were not defined, we felt it was wise to define those terms. So we defined all weather surface as meaning an impervious covering consisting of asphalt, concrete, or other similar permanent material that's sufficient to prevent ruts, mud, dust, loose material, and other nuisances. However, we also defined alternative parking spaces as meaning an all-weather surface, as mentioned above, or that can also be constructed of other materials such as decomposed granite or pavers. So this is the alternative we're talking about for people that want to build parking spaces beyond what's required in order to come into compliance with the code. We also define trailer, and that definition is taken directly from the Texas Department of Transportation as far as their definition of trailer, and it's definitely designed to exclude semi-trailers. And when we talk about trailers, we're not talking about semi-trailers, we're talking about just regular trailers. And then utility trailer needed to be defined so that we could talk about the exemption part of that ordinance. So we needed to define trailer and then a utility trailer. And so those were added to section 155.003. The next slide talks about another section of the code, 155.061, and this has to do with our requirements for all parking spaces in the city. And the city attorney had me recommended that I amend this to say that shall be surfaced and maintained with an all-weather surface, because before the ordinance said shall be surfaced and maintained with an all-weather surface such as concrete and asphalt. And so having it, that language such as, left it a little bit nebulous, a little bit subjective, because it wasn't an all-inclusive list. And so the city attorney felt it would be better to just define all-weather surface somewhere else, make it very non-subjective, make it very objective, and then just reference it in the code. So that's why that change is there. And finally, staff has added a brand new section to the zoning code 155.069, parking in residential areas. And so this is the part of the code where we actually define what the violation is in parking in a residential area. So A sets it up where it says it shall be, except for the exceptions provided later on, it shall be an offense for a person to basically park a vehicle, trailer, or recreational vehicle in a front, side, or rear yard of a residentially zoned property, except on an all-weather surface, as defined previously in the code. Even though recreational vehicle fits under either a trailer or a vehicle, because you have them both, we felt that it was important to call that out separately, because traditionally those have been exempted, especially in the heavy vehicle parking, and we didn't want any cross connections between code enforcement and the citizens. So we deliberately named recreational vehicle, even though it's a little bit redundant, just so there was some clarity on whether or not they were included. And they are included in this ordinance. You cannot park a recreational vehicle in a yard. The reason I chose the term front, side, or rear yard of a residentially zoned property is because that avoids the ability, or that avoids the need to have to define what a landscaped area is, and is xeriscaping considered a landscaped area? Well, what if it's just dirt and so forth? So a yard has a specific definition in the zoning code of ordinances, and there is a specific definition for a front and a side and a rear yard that a code enforcement officer can look at and just say, this is exactly what that is. And so this is a very simplified version of what you saw before, where it basically just says you can't park in a yard unless it's an all-weather surface, with the exceptions that we're going to get into. So the next section talks about one of the exceptions, obviously being if you have some kind of vehicle malfunction, you have to move that vehicle within a reasonable amount of time. Good advice from the city attorney was not to leave it at reasonable amount of time, because again, that's a very subjective term. So we changed that to 72 hours. That will actually coincide with what the police department does as far as abandoned vehicles. And then, as I mentioned before, later on, as we start talking about people storing cars on the streets, which means just basically parking cars on the streets and leaving them, one of the criteria we would use would probably be that 72 hours again, as another guideline. So again, for consistency internally and to provide objectivity, the city attorney recommended that 72-hour time period. The next section, subsection C on the next slide, talks about the areas where you can park. So again, these are the definitions of the front, side, and rear yards. So I won't bore you with the details, but basically the front yard is defined as basically the width of the house all the way to the property line in the front. And then the backyard is the width of the house all the way to the rear property line, and then the side yards are the remainders. And so this part of the ordinance remains the same as what you saw before, where additional parking spaces are limited to 50% of the areas in the front or side yards and 25% of the areas in the rear yards. What's important to note is we made the distinction that it's the additional parking spaces that are the restriction. So that's why it says parking spaces in addition to driveways and those spaces required in Chapter 155, Table 21D are permitted as long as they meet those requirements. So Table 21D is the table that gives the parking requirements for any type of use in the city. You know, single family is two family is two, multifamily is 2.5 per unit. And so basically any space that you build beyond what's required by the code cannot exceed those limitations. The next slide talks about the other issues, the other parts of the code. So these are the exceptions to the code. So the first one is, of course, the parking of city vehicles while in the performance of their duty. The next one is the parking of vehicles or trailers at a construction site or public utilities. This is exactly the same as a heavy vehicle for the exact same reason that there will be a need for those vehicles to be parked on the grass. Next is the parking of agricultural machinery or implements. And again, based on council input, we added horse trailers to that as also being exempted, because they kind of are agricultural implements and machinery, but we, you know, again, for clarity's sake, it's put in there so it's not subjective. The next one is the parking of any vehicle or recreational vehicle on an existing parking space. So this is your grandfathering. This is the fancy way of saying a grandfather space is existing parking space. And so we say that you can, if you have an existing parking space, then you're exempt from having to go back and build an asphalt or concrete parking space or parking space. But the definition of an existing parking space is in the second half of this point, and it's a clearly defined area where the soil has been compacted due to extended use so as not to create ruts when parked upon in wet weather, and which is surfaced with gravel, provided said conditions existed prior to the effective date of this prohibition. So in other words, if you had a gravel parking space in your yard before this ordinance was adopted, you're grandfathered. There is no longer a need to register that with the city. There is no need to, within a year, bring that gravel parking space up to a concrete parking space. So again, we freed the citizens of unnecessary expense and have met the intent of the code by providing, you know, it's not a impermeable surface, but it's at least a semi-permeable, and it'll help with issues like chemical absorption. And obviously, if it's gravel, then hopefully there's no grass for the grass fire aspect of that. So number five is the exact same thing, but it covers driveways. So in other words, this is where the grandfather driveways come into play. If again, there's a grandfather driveway before, or there's a driveway that's not concrete or asphalt in existence before the adoption of this ordinance, then they're grandfathered. And so both number four and five hit a couple of items that the council requested. One is that it deals with the smaller, older lots in the older parts of the city where they were built without these requirements. They were built back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and there wasn't a requirement for asphalt or concrete driveways. But the other half of this has to deal with the large lots. We did receive several requests for people that own large lots to not have to be exempted from this ordinance, and so we felt that this identified that. Again, we don't want somebody to have to pave a quarter-mile driveway on their five-acre tract of land, and more than likely it's going to be a gravel driveway with gravel parking spaces. So we feel that this was the best compromise to allow the citizens to be able to maintain their existing parking and driveways and not have to go through extensive expense to come up to code. And finally, number six is the one, it was the last request of the council, and that is that the parking of any utility trailer that is screened from a public street or right-of-way is exempted, provided it does not pose a risk of fire or contamination of the soil. So again, if it's an empty trailer, there's no chemicals on it, there's no heat sources on it, if it's screened from public view, then it's exempted from the ordinance. So this covers things like your, you know, the trailer you pull behind your lawnmower or your tractors or, and the reason why we defined it as a utility trailer, in the original definition of utility trailer, we did cap the length at 20 feet. Because technically, one of those big trailers that would haul a bobcat around or a tractor would be considered a utility trailer, but it's clearly also a heavy vehicle. So we capped it at 20 feet to be consistent with the heavy vehicle ordinance. And as I was doing my research, I saw that there's, of course, multiple sizes of utility trailers. And it seemed like the biggest one was 16 feet. So going to 20, I think, was very safe in order to give our citizens the maximum utility. So that being said, I believe that concludes the PowerPoint of this presentation. And so staff does recommend approval of this ordinance, again, based on the findings that there are needs. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Gary. I forgot. The actual last thing that the council asked us to do was to provide a very clear and transparent penalty clause contained within the ordinance, so we didn't have to search all over the code. And so that's what Section E is. It's the penalty that says, first of all, it's the building official's duty to enforce this code of ordinances. So it's very clear who the enforcement agent of this is. And it's the building official who is also the supervisor of the code enforcement officer. So it's within the code enforcement department of the city. The next section says that basically if you build a structure without a permit or in violation of this code, not only is the property owner, but any person responsible for that also could be in violation. So if a contractor goes in and builds a parking space in order for this to meet code and they didn't pull a permit, not just the property owner, but theoretically the contractor could be held liable. And we see that a lot, where the property owner is ignorant of our requirements, and they hire a contractor thinking that the contractor is going to take care of them. And we've had scenarios where a contractor said, yeah, we pulled a permit, and they really didn't. And then it's the property owner that's left on the hook of paying fines and dealing with the building official. So this opens up the wheelhouse and it allows us to address the contractors as well. And finally, it does establish a fine of $2,000 being the maximum, and establishes that each offense could occur per day per violation, so that'll add up greatly if somebody chooses to be a repeat offender. And the $2,000, while it seems really steep, remember that's a maximum, and that's actually internally consistent with all of our other codes that have to deal with health and safety. So the rest of the building code in the land use section of the Code of Ordinances also has that same fine. So again, for the ease of enforcement, we felt it's important to be consistent. So I believe that finally concludes the presentation. And the last point I want to make is very similar to what I made with the heavy vehicle parking, in that the effective date is going to be October 1st, 2021 is our recommendation, same date as the other one. So again, consistent, easy to remember. It gives staff a chance to create the educational program and to reach out to our citizens. And as I mentioned, with the heavy vehicle ordinance, staff does recommend approval of this ordinance because we feel we've established that there is a need to prohibit parking on lawns in residential areas because of aesthetic and public safety issues, that we've maintained government transparency by providing multiple opportunities and venues for public questions and comments, and finally, that this ordinance, like the heavy vehicle ordinance, represents the culmination of the citizen staff and city council recommendations, which we feel creates a fair, concise, and enforceable ordinance. So that concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Molis from the council? Okay, hearing none from the council, it's a public hearing. Anyone that's tuned in who would like to speak for or against this item?
If there's any caller on the line that would like to speak about this item, please press star 6 on your phone now to unmute your mic.
Okay, hearing none, just a public hearing. We'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the council for a motion. Okay, Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Councilmember Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3, and I would like to move that we approve an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, amending section 155.061 Bow Lake LA of the Code of Ordinance related to surfaces required for parking and loading spaces, as well as aisles and maneuvering areas related thereto, adding a new 155.069 related to parking in yards in residential areas, providing an affirmative defense, providing exceptions, providing for a penalty, providing a repeal clause, confirming the health and safety and welfare purpose of the ordinance, confirming the effects, and providing for an effective date of the amendments based upon staff's recommendations and findings.
Good, thank you, Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to second that, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay. Jennifer McCann, place 1, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place 1. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place 4, how do you vote?
John Ryder, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place 5, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item, number 8, old business, I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item, number 9, new business. Number 1, discuss and consider approving a request from Robin Fisher for an outside facility rental at the Purser Family Park, Carl Levin Park, and Community Park Pavilions for events in excess of 10 people on Friday, October 23rd, 2020, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. This is Jeff Fischet, Parks and Recreation Director. On July 2nd, Governor Greg Abbott issued a proclamation that gives mayors and county judges the ability to impose restrictions on some outdoor gatherings over 10 people. Those outdoor gatherings that are not specifically granted by the governor is prohibited unless the mayor or the city council, in this case, approves the gathering. So in accordance with this directive, Robin Fisher is seeking approval for a request to rent the Purser Family Park Pavilion, Harker Heights Community Park Pavilion, and the Carl Levin Park Pavilion for concurrent events on Friday, October 23rd, 2020, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. for a group of no more than 50 people per location. Mrs. Fisher did do a great job of, she wrote us a memo explaining what they're going to be doing, and I'll read a little bit from that. The general plan is that members of their congregation will sign up to attend an ice cream social at a specific pavilion. They will have registration that is capped at 50 people per location. They're only going to be serving individually wrapped ice cream treats like sandwiches or popsicles. There will be no homemade treats or potluck type food. They'll be well stocked with hand sanitizer and ask participants to wear a mask except when they're eating or drinking. I would like to point out they did also like to, they would like to reserve the pavilion at Skipjaw Park. And I did miss this, but that is not a reservable facility, so I do want y'all to know I will be bringing that back at the next meeting because I want to get with Clean ISD to make sure that there's not something that will conflict with that since that is a shared space with KISD. So that will be something separate. But they're doing that, the Skipjaw Park Pavilion, so that they can have some of their elderly or immunocompromised members take part in this event as well. So. With that being said, I will answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, any questions for the Parks and Recreation Director? Okay. Thank you for your presentation. It's back to the council for a motion. Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to make a motion, Mayor, to approve the request from Robin Fisher for an outdoor facility rental at the Purser Family Park, Carl Levin Park, and Community Park Pavilions for events in excess of 10 people on Friday, October 23rd, 2020.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Nicholas.
I second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Thank you. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
John Ryder votes yes.
Thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. New business item two, discuss and consider approving a request from Courtney Kimball for an outdoor facility rental at the Carl Levin Park Amphitheater for an event in excess of 10 people on Friday, September the 11th, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Jeff Fischer, Parks and Recreation Director. In accordance with that previous directive, Courtney Kimball is seeking approval for a request to rent the Carl Levin Park Amphitheater on Friday, September 11th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. for a group of approximately 50 to 100 people. I talked to Ms. Kimball, and again, they will have between 50 and 100 attendees. I did ask the likelihood of individuals over the age of 65 attending. She was unsure, but is thinking that it is probable that there will be attendees over 65. And then when asked about the density of the forum and the ability to ensure social distancing, they are requiring that people bring their own chairs and that they set up away from one another or from people that are not in their household. The number of projected attendees, 50 to 100, in the amphitheater area, this will be, they'll have ample space to keep people away from one another. So I will be able to answer any questions you may have about that.
Okay. Any questions from the council for the Parks and Rec Director? Okay, seeing none, do I have a motion from the council? Mr. Blomquist.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'd like to make a motion to approve the request from Courtney Kimball for an outdoor facility rental at the Carl Levin Park Amphitheater for an event in excess of 10 people on Friday, September 11, 2020.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Nicholas.
This is Councilmember Jody Nicholas. I say yes.
Okay, so you second the motion. Thank you. Have a motion and second. Stay with me. Stay with me. Okay, have a motion second. Any further discussion on the item?
No.
Hearing none, poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place four. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Item number three under new business, discuss and consider approving a request from Linda Nash for an outdoor facility rental at the Purser Family Park Pavilion for an event in excess of 10 people on Saturday, September the 19th, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is Jeff Fischer, Parks and Recreation Director. We're hitting all the pavilions today. This one is Linda Nash is seeking approval for a request to rent the Purser Family Park Pavilion on Saturday, September 19th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. For a group of approximately 20 people at any given time. It'll be a longer event. Again, in speaking with Ms. Nash, they expect 20 people at a time. They expect very few individuals over the age of 65 attending. And when asked about the density of the forum, they're going to allow only two at a time at the tables in the pavilion, and they are going to be keeping people in their vehicles until they're ready to come up to the table.
So I will be able to answer any other questions you may have about that.
Okay. Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Jeff, you pretty much answered my question as far as who's going to be the crowd control person for this, because, you know, there's a potential a lot of people show up right at the beginning. Just want to make sure that that's controlled, because, you know, there could be a large people mock up to the, you know, gaggle up to the pavilion, and, you know, you just don't want to have a whole bunch of people piled up on each other up there at the table. So
absolutely. I do believe Ms. Nash may still be on the call, but she did tell me that there's going to be some volunteers other than the registrars there to maintain that.
So there'll be somebody
well.
Waiting kind of at the parking lot where they would walk up towards the pavilion to let them know, hey, stay in your vehicle until we...
Correct.
Okay. Awesome. Thank
you, sir.
Yes. That's correct. This is Linda Nash. Yes, and we'll have them with road guard vests on also. I don't know if I told you that, Jeff, or not, but we'll have them with road guard vests, so if they're out there in the street, they'll be able to control everything that's going on.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Fontaine.
Yes. What is the event? Because it says the amount, but it doesn't say what the exactly are they going to be doing out there.
Yeah, this is a voter registration event, Voter Palooza.
That's fantastic.
Okay, since that's in, Mayor Smith, since we're it's going to be there on Mount Lyon with Purser Park, we anticipate any PD presence on that?
This is Jeff, Parks and Recreation Director. Jeff Shea, Parks and Recreation Director. I don't think they anticipate having any PD presence there, because I'm not sure that they have had the type of attendance that would require that for their previous events. They have done a couple of these at Kern Park, which they never went over 10 for those. And they are going to be concentrated in the parking area. So.
Yeah, okay. All right, any other questions for Parks and Recreation Director? Seeing none, it's to the council. New business, do I have a motion? Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the request from Linda Nash for an outdoor facility rental at the Purser Family Park Pavilion for an event in excess of 10 people on Saturday, September 19th, 2020.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Fontaine.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. This is Councilwoman Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine. Place 3, I would like to second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place 1, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place 1, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place 4, how do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place 4, votes yes.
Thank you. Jody Nicholas, place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place 5, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes unanimously, 5-0. New business, item number 4, discuss and consider approving a request from Linda Nash for an outdoor facility rental at the Summit Soccer Complex for an event in excess of 10 people on Saturday, September 26th, 2020, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is Jeff Shea, Parks and Recreation Director. Linda Nash, in accordance with that previous directive, is also seeking approval for a request for one field at Summit Soccer Complex on Saturday, September 26th, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. For a group of approximately 20 people at any given time. And she may be able to, Ms. Nash may be able to talk a little bit more to this, because when I spoke with her, there may be more in attendance than that at a time, because there will be food trucks at this event. They do, again, expect to have very few over the age of 65 attend their event. And again, when asked about the density of the forum, they're going to have seating areas where they will be separated at least 6 feet apart from one another. And they're going to be volunteers in addition, again, to the voting registrars that are going to ensure social distancing and that people are wearing masks when they're not eating. So I can answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you. Any presentation or any any questions for the Parks and Recreation Director? Okay, seeing none, it's back to the council. Do I have a motion? Okay. Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the request from Linda Nash for an outdoor facility rental at the Summit Soccer Complex for an event in excess of 10 people on Saturday, September 26, 2020.
Okay, good. Do I have a second? Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place four. Votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes unanimously, 5-0. New business number five, discuss and consider approving a request from Dwayne Smith for an outdoor facility rental at the Purser Family Park Pavilion for an event in excess of 10 people on Saturday, October 17, 2020, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. It's Jeff Ashe, Parks and Recreation Director. Last but not least, Dwayne Smith is seeking approval for a request to rent a pavilion at Purser Family Park on Saturday, October 17th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. for a group of approximately 25 people for a family reunion. I spoke with Mr. Smith today, and he assured me that no one over age 65 will be attending this event. And again, when asked about the density of the forum, they will be keeping folks spaced out, and they will be in small groups only and from the same household. So I can answer any questions that you may have.
Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Jeff, I assume that this family reunion, they don't all live in the same house. Is that correct?
No, I would assume not as well. This is Jeff Shea, Parks and Recreation Director, because he did say that they are going to have different spaces
okay.
for
I would make sure that,
families.
You know, even though they are all family related, either by marriage or blood, that they still wear their masks because, you know, somebody coming from out of town could very well be a carrier and they don't know it even. So we just don't want to, you know, have an incident.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I don't want to do a disservice to Mr. Smith. He did volunteer that. He was okay. going to be making sure that everyone was wearing a mask.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, any other questions from the council? Councilmember Fontaine? No? Okay. Yeah, I just, this is Mayor Smith. It's good to see that we have people outside of Harker Heights that want to use our facilities, and they're being charged accordingly since they're not a resident of the city of Harker Heights.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any other questions for the Parks and Recreation Director? Okay, back to the council to have a motion. Okay, Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Councilmember Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I would like to move that we approve the request from Dwayne Smith for an outdoor facility rental at the Purser Family Park Pavilion for an event in excess of 10 people on Saturday, October 17, 2020.
Thank you. Mr. Blomquist.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I second that motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
It's Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place four. Votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And a motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item is item 10, reports of advisory boards and commissions. Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Real quickly, just to let everyone know, I'll be attending the Bell County Health Board on Monday, September 14th at 17:30 hours or 5:30 p.m. over in Temple, Texas. So I'll be providing a report when I get back from that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else on item 10? Okay, thank you, Mr. Blomquist. Item 11, items from the council. Have anything from the council, Mr. Blomquist?
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Real quick, get out and enjoy the farmer's market. The Yankee Mandu is very good out there. The Yum Yums finally showed up. So get out, it's cooler weather, and enjoy the farmer's market. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next item 12, staff reports. Number one, receive and discuss the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, and I'll just say thank you. I'm not going to go through your city manager's report very thoroughly. You do have all the information in front of you. I just want to point out two things to you very quickly. You do have a flyer, Council, there at your seats, I believe. The Harker Heights Chamber of Commerce Vision 21 Leadership Class of 2019 will have a 10 a.m. ceremony on Thursday, September 10th at the Central Fire Station flagpoles. This will be a dedication ceremony for the newly purchased first responder monument that is proudly displayed out in front of the fire station. And this monument was purchased through the Buy Brick program from the 2019 leadership class. So if you'd like to attend that, I know Julie, I think, already posted for that. So all council members that would like to attend certainly may. Also, council, want to point out that Jerry Bark has worked with Harker Heights Healthy Homes Program and our police department, collaborating with local community interest on supplying COVID-19 health awareness bags to our citizens in need. Those bags are anticipated to be ready for distribution in the next few weeks. So that program will be run through our Healthy Homes program. So that concludes my presentation, council. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, I think that was a good option as far as going through our Healthy Homes, make more people aware of it, and I think that fits real well with what we're trying to accomplish on that. So thank you. Okay, announcements, I see none. And adjournment. I'll let y'all know you earned your nickel tonight. So the time is 8:16 and we're adjourned.
Bye, y'all.
See you, John.
Jeff. This conference is no longer being recorded.